Has God called me? Has that been confirmed? Let's share our stories with this.
God is faithful to guide us. Almost every single case in Scripture, when someone goes into ministry, is because there's a need.
Satan's goal is to destroy the church, and he goes after pastors like crazy.
Don't allow fear of failure to be the barrier to entering into that.
Welcome to the Lutheran Church Planter. This is a podcast that explores the theology, philosophy, and practice of planting new Lutheran congregations. I'm your host, Andy Coyle. I'm church planner and director of home missions for the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, joined by my co-host, Pastor Matthew Ballman, down in San Antonio, Texas, also a church planter. And this season, we're all dealing with different practical aspects about planting a church, blueprints of starting a congregation. We've talked about, you know, just location issues, model things. We want to spend a few episodes talking about leadership, the spiritual leadership within a congregation. Obviously, you can talk about the pastors, you can talk about just your lay people. So we want to kind of spend some episodes diving down on that, because it's something that you hear all the time. Well, the pastor this, or lay this, or lay that. And we never really dive into how has God set that up? Are there things we can learn from the scriptures about this? And so we want to spend a few episodes just focusing on the pastor first. And a lot of this is going to relate to pastors in general. We are going to, as we go, hone in specifically on church planting pastors, but we thought this would be really helpful for all of us. We're going to break it into like an outline of four with a pastor, four C's, if that's helpful to remember. And that is calling, character, chemistry, and competency. And this is a framework to just help us think through what God has done in building the leadership. The spiritual leadership within a church specifically related to the pastoral leadership. And so maybe I'll just go through that again. The calling, that's like, has God called me? Has that been confirmed? Character, do I fit the biblical qualifications for leadership? Chemistry, do I theologically, philosophically, practically, culturally fit in a certain context? And then competency, has God actually gifted me with what I need to do the ministry he's calling me to do? And rightly understood, again, they form a really helpful tool to just think through the nature of ministry. What I would encourage you to think through is that this is a holistic unit. So we don't want to just take one and isolate it from the rest. And so just because maybe a person has a ton of gifts doesn't mean that they're called by God. Or maybe because they have a really great character doesn't necessarily mean that they have the gifts. And so all these different things, we want to tie together. And we hope that after these episodes, you'll understand with a greater appreciation for the design of God. And even as you maybe process maybe your call into ministry, or if your congregation helps you to process who you're calling to serve you as a shepherd. And so today we want to talk about calling. Calling. That is such a huge, huge issue. Matt, let's dive into that a little bit. As we get into calling, what are some of the things that just jump out at you right at the outset?
Yeah, so we go to scripture. I think that's the place to start on this. This is not a pragmatic thing that we're talking right about today in calling. You know, part of church planning, we do talk a lot of, there's some pragmatic factors that we want to consider. There's best practices we want to consider. Calling is a just very biblical kind of non-negotiable. As who is responsible for deciding who goes into ministry, mm-hmm. right? And there's kind of multiple levels to this. Because on one hand, we'd say every single Christian is called into ministry. But then we see that there are two specific biblical offices yeah. of elder and deacon that the Holy Spirit has designed and designated for the local congregation. So we want to follow in that pattern mm-hmm. with that. So where do we go for that? Well, one, we see this actually starting in the Old Testament with, you know, the high priest and the Levites, and like we already see the need for a spiritual structure that God has called a couple out, not that they have some magic power in their hands, but that they're called to a role of service, right? Mm-hmm. We could get into pastoral theology and what is a pastoral office and what is ordination. That's not necessarily something we're looking at today. But then we come to the New Testament, and again, we see right off the bat, we see in 1 Timothy 3, we see in Titus, we see in the book of Acts, that these two offices, and I'll just talk real briefly about the two offices because I think this is helpful. So first we have elder, and those are called to be the servant leaders in the local congregation, primarily called to word and sacrament ministry, to teaching the word, to mm-hmm. praying for their people, for administering the sacraments, okay? And then you have the deacons, which we see laid out as the often like the physical servants of the church. If one is more the spiritual servants, one is the physical. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to overly bifurcate that, but we see in Acts where the apostles are saying, man, we are getting so busy with serving tables, we don't have time to preach the word and to pray. So they said, the Spirit's going to lead in who we should appoint, men of character, men of competency, that we're going to call to serve tables, right? That we might be able to focus on this. So these two partner together. It's not one is better than the other, but they have just different vocational calls in the local church. So yeah, I would say that's maybe the starting place of where does this model even come from? Why are we even talking about this? It's because in the Bible, it's right. God's idea. It's God's design. We have two very clear kind of offices in there. But then again, at a general level, everybody's called to engage in ministry in some capacity. So maybe that's just like a starting place that I would go. Mm-hmm. What would you say? What's the next step? So once we've established, you know, kind of a general biblical theology of the offices of the local congregation, where do you go from there?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, and again, you could talk about what you just introduced forever. You know, Jesus calling his disciples. And, I mean, just a lot of stuff in the scriptures, the prophets of the Old Testament. I think, like in our case, I think what we want to talk about is just why the calling is so important. You reference it. It's not something you just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to be a pastor. Or someone says something, oh, I'm going to go do that. You know, whatever. This is something that God decides. God calls you into ministry. And that's a really super bedrock thing. I remember years ago when I was just sort of processing this for myself and doing some mission training, I remember Pastor Dick Gunderson, a longtime missionary, pastor in the AFLC, he hammered this over and over and over and over. You know, you have to know that you're called by God, because guess what? It is going to hurt. There's going to be a lot of hard things in ministry. And if you have that calling, and if you are sure that you have that calling, that calling is going to help you get through those hard times. And I've heard other pastors say, man, one of the biggest reasons they think so many people burn out in ministries is maybe they entered for the wrong reasons. They weren't really called of God. And I think that's worth processing out a little bit. I think there's a lot of maybe unhealthy motivations on why someone would want to be in ministry. I have a few here listed. Again, you could probably go through them more, but unemployment. Well, I need a job, so this is a way to support my family, so I'm just going to jump into serving a church. That's not a good motivation. How about bitterness? Well, I'm burned out at this call or this church, and so I can't stay here anymore, so I'm going to go find another one. That's going to carry over. That's not a good reason. Pride. I am such a gift to people. God is so blessed to have me. I'm going to go then preach and teach because I can do it better than everybody else. I'm God's gift to the church. That's not a good motivation. How about popularity? Well, you know, we can talk about church planting specifically. It's grown exponentially in the last 20, 25 years. And some circles, it's actually a pretty trendy thing to do. And so, hey, I want to gather people around me. I want to have the limelight. I want to have this. And so I'm going to go, you know, be a plant pastor. I can get a following that way. That's not a good motivation. Power hungry. There's a lot of times people that want to have that power. And that can happen in existing congregations. That can happen in plants. And, you know, especially in plants when you have strong leaders, you want people to follow you. That's not a good motivation. Mm-hmm. And how about just idealism? I think this happens a lot. Hey, there's a need out there. People need Jesus. Planting. Yeah, we got to do that. Oh, plant. It's not that hard. It's not that big of a deal. Being a pastor of the church, no big deal. I don't need to learn from others. I'm just going to go out there and do it. Idealism. Yeah. That's not a good motivation. You got anything to add or make any more comments on that?
No, those are all, yeah, really good. I mean, what maybe the question comes to my mind is, so what is it that a pastor, because those are like motivations as opposed to like, what is it that the pastor is called to actually do? What would you say, if you were to kind of simplify and boil down, what is it that the pastor is called to do? It's not kingdom building, you know, you kind of hit on that. It's not self-justification. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, kind of all these negative motivations for going in. Well, mm-hmm. So what is the thing, the task, the work that a pastor is actually called to? If you could kind of summarize it in a couple points, what would that
be? I think you kind of already did. You talked about word and sacrament ministry. There's a lot of pictures in the scripture, shepherding, right? And shepherding is nourishing and feeding the flock, and you're protecting the flock. A pastor is an under shepherd to Christ, and now has the calling to shepherd the flock, you know, to preach the word, minister the sacraments, care, you know, evangelize. All of that goes under it. None of that includes building as a CEO or as, you know, any other maybe idea, but it's just purely word and sacrament ministry, caring for people, shepherding the flock. So yeah. important. So yeah. one of the things I remember back in my mission training, I'm sure for you too, and any ministry, right? We have an enemy. You know, Ephesians 6 talks about that. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, spiritual forces of evil. And so we have to understand that Satan's goal is to destroy the church. His goal is to destroy Christians, and he goes after pastors like crazy, okay? And so if he, part of understanding our calling is to recognize that in the midst of our work, we are going to be bombarded by all these things, whether that's doubt or all everything. Mm. And to recognize, no, God has called me into this. Come what may. I'm going to be attacked. I'm going to be assaulted from the enemy. Satan is going to try to destroy the church. God has called me and come what may, right? And so I think it's really important. Just, it's like, am I called, right? The calling of God is such a vital thing with anybody in ministry, pastoral ministry. So then the key question then is, how do you know? How do you know if God is calling you to be a pastor? We're just going to kind of focus in on the aspect of pastor. And maybe I'll add a qualification here. I'm not talking about ordained pastors or lay pastors. I mean, sometimes we want to like make this big distinction between the two, but the reality is the scripture, like, it just lays the qualifications out. So whether you are a lay pastor or ordained pastor, the metrics don't change. The qualifications don't change. And we would do a great disservice to say, well, if I'm just a lay pastor, well, then I don't need to have this, this, or this, or this, or this, right? Mm. And so we are talking simply about spiritual leadership. If you are being called into the spiritual leadership, a pastoral leadership in a congregation over a flock of God's people, you need to know. So how do you know? How do you know? Matt, take it away. What do you think?
Man, I go first right off to 1 Timothy 3. Like that, the very first line, Paul talks about that if one desires this, it's a noble task that they desire, right? So there's a goodness in that desire, but there's a goodness in the actual task that they're being called to. So I think that's like a really first point of like, is there a desire? Like, that, what a great starting place. Now, that doesn't mean if there's no desire that God's not calling you. That very well could be as well. But the first, like, is there a desire to go into ministry? If there's this sense of like, man, I'm really interested in this, or I really delight in serving, or I really want to spend my life serving those around me, serving the Church of Jesus Christ. That's a really good starting place. Again, maybe you don't desire that, and God still can be calling, and that's a question that maybe you want to ask is, okay, I don't maybe desire, but is God calling me into this? And if so, Lord, put that desire in my heart, right? Because often that answering a call means you are leaving something. It means you're saying no to something. I think that's a really important thing, right, for us to recognize and just acknowledge. Saying yes to serving in the church is saying no to something else, other maybe really good things as well. So is there a desire internally to serve within the church? That would be maybe the starting place that I would go.
Yeah, so you point on that inner call, right? And you know, theology books, church bodies, you know, they've kind of helped us think through this a little bit, that there's an inner call and an outer call. So let's just kind of, you mentioned the inner call. Let's lean into that a little bit. And that is the call that only comes from the Spirit of God, right? This is God calling you. And it is that sense of, you know, follow me, I will make you a fisher of men, kind of like what Jesus said to his disciples. There's a lot of factors that maybe God might use to maybe press that in your life, that inner call. What are some of the factors? And again, this is different for every person, honestly. And so this could be a long list, but just, you know, we have a few factors that maybe God has used in other pastors' lives, in our lives, and to help us discern that inner call of God. What are some?
Yeah, so part of it could be a burden, right? Do I have a burden for a specific people group or a specific ministry, or in general, serving the church? That's one of those. You know, I think a responsibility is do I feel the responsibility to spiritually protect or guide or care for these individuals? Have I been invited into this work? That's often, we'll talk about this a little bit later for the external call. That's a really important component, but that often can stimulate, I would say, the internal call is someone inviting us into that partnership. And that can start really small and grow as we go along. You know, it could be you're in a place where there's a need, right? There's a need, mm-hmm. and there is a need in the church at large,
right.
but maybe in a congregation, there's a need. Around the U.S. right now, we need pastors. We need more pastors. There's a real need for that. So seeing that, the Lord can use that and will use that to stir up. Almost every single case in scripture, when someone goes into the ministry, is because there's a need. We need missionaries. Yeah. Let's commission them and send them out.
Right.
It's rarely actually does it start with someone saying, hey, I just want to go, you know, kind of make a name for myself, or I want to mm-hmm. go. You don't see that at all. It's always the church saying, we need to send a missionary. We need a deacon to serve. We need a pastor to serve. And we're going to pray through that. We're going to let the Spirit guide us in that. We're going to call them into that, lay hands on them and commission them and empower them and send them out. That's always the biblical model that we have. It's not the self-appointing process.
Right.
You know, is that so that, you know, do you see a need? Do the internal call, is there, you know, do you have giftings for that? I think that's another thing that we see in the qualifications, and we'll talk about this later for character, but are there some basic character competencies that you see within yourself that's being affirmed within you? Again, we'll talk about external call for that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are just a couple of the ones that maybe kind of come to my mind. What would you add to that?
Yeah, I just think, you know, with the scriptures, and I'll be honest, I remember when I processed through this years ago, people would always say, you know, you got to confirm with the scriptures. And I kept thinking, okay, mm-hmm. there's no scripture out there that's going to say, okay, Andy, I am calling you into the ministry. But that, of course, that's not what they were saying. But it was like, you know, we've all had that sense of when we've, you know, read the word, we believe the word is living, it's alive, that God uses that word to speak to us in a new way, right? And and it could be that you're reading the word and all of a sudden something just, boom, just goes off. And it's like, all right, God is calling me through this text here, this word, or really a combination. I think that's honestly what a lot of this is these are all things that God can use in various ways to direct a person, to help them think through, you know, the calling that maybe God has on their lives. Again, there's not a silver bullet here. You talk to 100 pastors, you're going to get 100 different stories on how God just really pressed upon them this feeling that they were being called into ministry. However, in saying that, you know, it's not just purely the internal call. And you've referenced this a few times. It's not, we don't self-appoint. We don't even just ask a couple of our friends around us, hey, do you think this is a good idea for me to do this? You know, I'm really good at one thing, so therefore I should be good at another thing. That's not it at all. There's a lot of people that have jumped into ministry and going back to unhelpful motivations, maybe just because, hey, I want to try this without an external call. So we believe that there's an external call, an outer call, and that falls into this whole, you know, framework within this, the Word of God. God is a God who uses means, right? He uses people. He uses things to do his work, to confirm his work, to give his mercy, to give his grace. I mean, that's a whole nother topic, right? But he uses people. He uses congregations in calling and confirming that internal call. So basically the idea is if the Holy Spirit is calling you internally, the Spirit is then going to also use fellow believers to confirm that calling, okay? So that inner call needs to be verified by godly and wise people in your lives. I'm not talking about just your best buddy who, whatever. I'm talking about people that are wise, that are mature. I'm talking about a group of people, a congregation. These are people that are observing you. They're observing your person. They're observing your giftings. They're observing your spiritual life. They're observing just your family. They're also ideally pressing your motivations. Mm. We can't do this in ourselves. We can't assess ourselves very well. We need other people to do that. And if they then, man, if they're saying, I don't know if this is a good idea, then I think we should heed that. So God uses people around us. And that's a beautiful thing. Congregations, wise leaders, to help us discern the call. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think like, you know, who are those people in your life very practically? One could be your spouse, right? Yeah. This is very important. Like there's, that could be a whole nother kind of part of this conversation is, and specifically in church planting, if your spouse is not on board, your wife's not on board, then you shouldn't go into that. Mm-hmm. You do not want to go into ministry if your wife's not on board and supportive and feeling like, yes, this is a call. Now, is she the one called to be the pastor? No, but without her support, the spiritual attack will be on the whole household, on the whole family. You need that unity in that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a, you know, if you are perhaps like at a church right now, talk to your pastor. Like that's going to be a key thing. But we have like all these people around us that isn't just our best friends. Talk to them for sure. Mm-hmm. People in your small group, people in your congregation, people in our denominational church, our associations, leadership. Like there's mm-hmm. all these kind of levels that we can be talking to and getting their perspectives. Right. And specifically in church planting, and we'll talk about this more when we get to competency as well, but specifically in church planting is also like assessments and like discerning, mm-hmm. am I specifically called into actually church planting? Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I internal, external, so important. It's so easy for people to feel that internal call, right? That desire. And that's good. Like that's a good biblical, Christian, Holy Spirit work. But mm-hmm. if it's not also being affirmed by an external call, we need to put a pause on that and say, well, why not?
Yeah.
Are there yellow flags? Are there red flags that the people around me are putting up? Well, hey, this is an opportunity then for me to address those. Hey, you need to grow in this area. So that would be the thing. It doesn't have to be an absolute all yes or all no. It could be like, hey, we see giftings in this. We think, yes, you could be called to this, but here are some things that you need to mature in, to grow in. And that then you can actually begin focusing on that. And maybe it's like, all right, it's going to be a process to that external call.
Right. Yeah. I'm just thinking as you're talking there too, like these four aspects, you know, these four C's, it's not just even good for a person to think through. I think this is valuable for a congregation who's going to actually offer and confirm that outward call. Like they actually have to know what they're calling, right? And I think sometimes we can get in such a rush and, well, someone wants to be our pastor, so let's get them, you know? And we don't, as a congregation, maybe we spend the time to think through, okay, are they called of God? Do they have the character, the biblical qualifications? Is there a chemistry fit here? Is there competencies? And so I think, you know, this maybe can be maybe a tricky thing, but we need to make sure that our people that are doing the outward calling are actually processing what the Bible says too. And because sometimes we can get ourselves into all kinds of trouble if either the pastor or the congregation or the outward people are not being shaped by the scriptures, frankly. So, well, we wanted to share maybe our stories. You know, on this podcast, it's really designed to be a teaching podcast, and it's designed to have a kind of a backlog of topics, you know, to be a resource. A lot of podcasts do different types of things, but we thought, you know, let's share our stories with this, and just maybe that would be helpful as you think through maybe how God has or is calling you into ministry. So I'll go first, and then Matt will share too, but I never really wanted to be a pastor, and I remember growing up, I wanted to be a history teacher and a basketball coach, and that was something that I went to Bible college still with that on my mind, and I distinctively remember a mission conference in, it would have been 2001, that people were invited to pray about being a missionary. And I just sensed, like, talking about inner call, right? I just sensed like I need to go upstairs into the balcony at the Haugie Chapel and just pray. And just like, I need to be open to this. And that's like probably all that was just a willingness to be open to something that wasn't my plan. And I think from that point on, you know, God opened the door for me to do a mission program the next year, where I spent the first semester just studying cross-cultural ministry, again, not knowing really anything more than, hey, this is kind of something fun to do. And it kind of piqued my interest of adventure, right? I like that. And so I can't say maybe my motivations were the best, but God used it of my interest in adventure to just start studying mission history and mission cross-cultural thinking and all these things. And in that way, then I went to Northern Russia for about 4 or 5 months with Tomasz, my friend who's a missionary in Ukraine right now, also AFLC pastor. And it was in that point, in that moment, in that internship that I knew God was calling me into ministry. I thought it was primarily teaching ministry within a mission context. I wanted to be a missionary. And my wife, she came that summer and for language camp ministry, and God brought us together with similar passions. And the rest is history with that. Another story some other time. But it started for me as I want to be a missionary. I want to be a mission teacher. And so naturally it was like, okay, I gotta go get equipped. I have no idea what I'm doing. Just a couple of year Bible college thing. That's not going to teach me how to actually teach people the depths of the word. And I recognized that on that internship of being in some situations where I was so over my head. I'm like, I need to go need to go get prepped. And so I had to go to college, and then I went to seminary. I remember all through seminary, never wanting to be a pastor, all with the goal of moving back over to Eastern Europe to start a Bible college. We would go back in our summers and really continue to invest in missions in Eastern Europe. And I remember my last year in seminary. In our seminary, we have a fourth year as an internship. And we went to Salinas, California, St. Ansgar's Lutheran, and wonderful congregation, super mission-minded, and just had all these opportunities to teach. Mm. And in the midst of it, our mission plan fell apart because of some visa restrictions. And God was just like, okay, now I want you to do this. Like, you're going to go be a pastor. And I remember feeling a real strong call, like, I need to learn how to, like, teach and pastor within a congregation. And so God called us to Salem and Radcliffe, Iowa. And we were there for 2.5 years. Wonderful, wonderful time. Sweet time. Super steep learning curve. You know, in your first 2 years in full-time ministry, I remember the first time someone died, I called my advisor, what am I supposed to do, right? It was all new. And yet it was so wonderful learning the rhythms of how do I preach every week and how do I lead this and how do I do care and how do I prep studies and everything. And yet God called us missions. And so about 2 years in, the door became open to Ukraine. And so we checked it out. And sure enough, God called us there to Ukraine to start a Bible college. So kind of a continuation of the original call, really. So we went to Ukraine and we're there for just 4 years, and everything kind of blew up with the country, with the church. And but it was a sweet time there of just mission teaching, full-time teaching. And when we knew we were coming back to the States, of just sensing, okay, what do you want us to do? I kind of knew my wiring by this time. I think coming out of seminary, I had no idea how God had built me. And you know, when we get into competencies later, we'll talk about that. I never was taught how to sort of process my wiring, really, and mm-hmm. like what am I good at and what am I built for? I learned how to do that in Ukraine a lot more. And so just recognizing that I'm built for a mission context. And so the door opened to church planting. And Matt, you were a part of that. You were on the call committee with Abiding Savior that called us before we even came back, and just like really praying through, like, all right, God, you are building me to continue to do missions. Now in an American context, in church planting, I had no idea what that meant. No idea what that even like would look like, but just again, that external call of an internal call to continue missions in a congregational setting. And I guess the rest is history. And we can keep talking about different ways in which God continues to call, you know, open doors, closed doors. But for me, it was just a very progressive thing. And it started with, all right, am I open to do whatever? God, show me, right? And then that just continued to morph. And it probably still is, you know, probably till the day I die. You know, it's like God's going to continue to direct us and lead us. How about you, Matt? What's your story?
Yeah. Well, but before then, like what stands out to me in your story and my story as well is like, God is faithful to guide us. Like we don't have to be anxious. And I think we can want to plan our future. Like, oh, I'm going to get this degree and get this job and going to move here and have this bunch of, man, when it comes to all of life as a Christian, we don't have to do that. Like, yes, we can make our plans, but it's God who directs our steps, right? The word says that. So we can enter into it. And I just love your story because that's my story as well. God is faithful to open and close the doors, and we can trust him in that. Mm-hmm. The key is, and it kind of, it's cliche, it's a little cheesy, this idea of putting your yes on the table. Put your yes on the table, and then let God put your yes on the map. And I think that's what I hear in your story of like, Lord,
that's super cheesy.
It is cheesy, but there's something like really true about that. Mm-hmm. It's like, and Jesus talks about this, like don't borrow tomorrow's worries and fears, right? There's enough for today, but the point with that is you can trust him for today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He will provide for you today. His grace is sufficient. He is with you. He will guide. And that's true for anybody, no matter like who's listening to this. Like that's true for you. Mm-hmm. Don't borrow tomorrow's worries. God is faithful today. Be faithful today. He will guide you, right? And that's totally my story as well. Grew up as a PK. My dad's an AFLC pastor. I'm very fortunate. I had a great experience growing up in the church. Mm-hmm. A lot of PKs, you know, have very, very not that. That's not their experience. They have difficult upbringings, and the church is kind of a competition for the family. That wasn't mine. I'm really grateful for that. I've always loved the congregation. Never in a massive church, always, you know, small church ministry. But saw my dad model really well that. But I never thought about ministry, honestly. And my dad never asked me about it. He never was like, oh, you should be a pastor. I can't remember that at all. though in our household, we were very mission minded. So my parents cultivated that. We listened to lots of stories of great Christians and stories of missionaries and lots of missions nights at our churches. So that was always kind of part of my upbringing, I would say. Mm-hmm. And that the Lord used that unknowingly. And then as I got into high school and college, I really was wrestling with like, Lord, you know, what are you calling me to do? And looked at all types of things, you know, went kind of down the list of like, well, what makes a lot of money? Oh, I could be a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, go into the trades or, you know, kind of going to the military, all these things that maybe a lot of guys think about. And as I was wrestling through that, went on a couple mission trips. And one specifically where I would say like my external call really began, the first time it was really verbalized was on a mission trip to Brazil. Mm. Our AFLC missionaries there, I've told the story many times publicly in the AFLC, right. But Pastor Paul Abel, we were sitting on his front porch early in the morning, you know, watching the sun come up and drinking Brazilian coffee. And he asked me the question. I was kind of talking to this, like, man, I'm thinking about like, I don't know, do I serve the Lord, like go into law school, go into politics? Like what is it? Mm-hmm. And he says, have you considered ministry? Mm-hmm. And I really hadn't, like, I honestly really hadn't thought very deeply about that. But here was the thing that really was like kind of the punch to the gut, the hook, if you will, that the Lord used was saying, you know, the Lord has need. We're called to pray for laborers and the Lord has need of your gifts in the church. And I think that you should prayerfully consider that the Lord might be calling you into that. Mm. And that was like, whoa, like my gifts, like, I don't feel like I have that many gifts. Like, I don't feel like I could do this. I'm not, you know, smart like this. I'm not gifted in this way. Mm-hmm. I felt in many respects, like I wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And it was that kind of external word that he spoke that perked up my heart and like, maybe the Lord could be calling me into this. Maybe he could use my weak efforts, my weak gifts for his purpose. Mm-hmm. And that began then the process of, you know, kind of multiple confirmations of beginning to talk and pray with people, continue to do some different mission trips and experience engaging mm-hmm. in ministry, you know, even long before I became a pastor, just like getting my feet wet in ministry. Spent, you know, a summer in Ukraine and interesting kind of similar stories in that. And that was really, really good, really formative. And eventually you really felt led to missions. In fact, I again can honestly say I never saw myself as going mm-hmm. into congregational leadership and so felt, Lord, you know, I want to go preach the gospel to those who have never heard it. And that's why I went to seminary. So ended up going to seminary specifically to study missions, study missiology, contextualization, you know, that whole, the whole nine mm-hmm. yards of how can I be equipped to take the gospel to the furthest reaches. And so went to seminary with that as end, went through the process, met my wife, we got married. She had a very similar heart as well. Mm-hmm. And we went through the process with the AFLC World Missions Department. We were whatever, I forgot the terminology, what, you know, kind of for the pre-approved or missionary candidate list, I think, or something like that.
Sounds right.
You know, that was a really good process too, like just talking through the board and, mm-hmm. you know, they were asking questions and having to do the assessments with that. And then when I finished seminary, in order to get rostered and ordained in the AFLC, they said, hey, you know, we want you to spend, you know, a year in one of our churches before we, you know, send you overseas. And that was great. We wanted that. We're like, yes, we want to serve in the States for a year or two to learn what ministry looks like here before we go overseas. Called to Abiding Savior. And we told them that, like, hey, we want to go over to China. At the time we were looking, and we had done a vision trip over there, met with workers over there. I wanted to go do church planning and theological education, equipping pastors. That was the idea. So we were kind of set on that, went to Abiding Savior. 1 year turned into 5 years, and the Lord redirected. It may not even redirected. I think this is that idea mm-hmm. of we make our plans, but God directs.
Right.
And I think that's part of this process mm-hmm. was saying, Lord, we have a heart to reach people who are far from you, people who may have not heard the good news, people who are not in the church. And he said, like, yes, it's not going to be China. It's going to be, you know, in San Antonio, Texas, mm-hmm. starting this church. So the Lord directed and guided mm-hmm. Through that whole process. But yeah, I mean, I just see looking back, Fly was another one of those things. I remember Fly one summer where the speaker was just talking about God's grace and all these kind of little kind of building blocks, if you will, like these clarifying moments. So it mm-hmm. wasn't like this. I woke up one day as a 9-year-old, like, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a mission. Some people have that.
Yeah.
That wasn't my story.
Yeah.
And to me, like I guess I have zero question that God has called me into ministry. Mm-hmm. I've never questioned whether God has called me into ministry since being called into ministry. Mm-hmm. Why? Because yes, that internal, but also having so many external calls and having, you know, the AFLC, You know, you've been ordained into ministry, having a church. Mm-hmm. We are calling you. God is calling you to this task. So I don't question it because I know I have that external call to shepherd, to protect, to guide, to teach, to serve the local church. And until the local church says, hey, you're no longer called, God's called me to that, right? So I want to be faithful in that work. So yeah, I just looking back, I guess I just give praise. And I guess what is an encouragement to people is, it doesn't have to be this like all or nothing thing. Again, that's where that put your yes on the table. God's going to open the door slowly and iteratively for you, moving you forward in that.
For sure.
We can trust God with that. God is totally trustworthy to that call.
Yeah. Really good. Really good. So maybe as we just wind up here today, just, you know, even for you as a listener, I just invite you to pray, you know, Jesus invites his church to pray for laborers. The harvest is plentiful. And we talk about this all the time. We need pastors. We need men that are called of God that are going to shepherd the flock of God. And so pray that God would provide, pray for yourself to that you would have an openness to whatever the Lord would have you. And I think that's the first step. It's just like, Lord, whatever, do what you will. Use me however you want. I mean, we're all called into ministry of some kind. We're all called to be part of a congregation. We are all called to like serve one another, love one another. Obviously not everybody's called to be a pastor, but you know, just to even be willing to say, Lord, help me to see even in my congregation, where can I serve people? Where can I love people? Where can I just help be part of that ministry? But I think you should just start asking and talking to people. Like, again, like the way Matt, you started, like if anybody aspires to be a pastor, that's a noble thing. This is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. And the desire is good as well. I'd encourage you to talk to your pastor. You know, just share your heart with him. Help him to start praying for you. If you're really far more open to like, and just really sensing the call, talk to the president's office. I know Pastor Micah and Pastor Jason would love to visit with you. Reach out to the seminary. Find people in your life that you can trust that are wise. Find people that are pastors that are walking in the shoes that you are maybe wondering if you're called to walk in, that can speak into your life and observe you and sense maybe what God is calling you into. But just ask, like, how is God calling me? How is God calling me? And pray and pray and pray. If you're sensing a calling to be a plant pastor, that's like another step of like is God calling me a missionary or whatever? We would love to talk to you and just help process and just help you through discerning if that is indeed a calling of God or just an awesome desire for missions, because that's a beautiful heart for evangelism as well. Again, this is just one part of this. This is calling, and we're going to be talking about character, chemistry, competency. This is a foundational. They're all foundational, but we want to spend time on this and just encourage you to pray. You know, this is a beautiful thing. The pastoral office is a beautiful thing. It is a necessary thing. Churches are designed to have pastors, and God calls, and he is calling. Any final words, Matt?
Yeah, as you're talking, the picture comes to my mind of the final story of Moses' call. Mm. And I think, you know, I think about my call. And some people look at me today and like, man, you seem like, you know, you kind of, you're really confident in this. And it's like, man, I entered into it with a lot of fear and trepidation. Like, I went to seminary. I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to keep up with the paper writing, with the thinking, with like, there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of insecurities in that. And I wasn't even like a deeply insecure person even necessarily, but like, even then I had deep insecurity. So the point with that is like, I think everyone can have that. Mm-hmm. And Moses had that, right? Moses' call at the burning bush, there's so much like insight into the human heart there.
Right.
And I love the lesson of what God always says. Like Moses is like, I can't speak. Right. God's like, well, right. I'm gonna speak. You don't worry about that. Like, well, people aren't gonna accept me. He's like, well, it's not about that. Like, God's like, I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna give you the words. I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna give you the signs. I'm gonna give you the resources to do that. And that's what it is in ministry. Like, yes, we are all Moses. We are the stuttering fool often, the broken background. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people who are willing to say, yes, I'm your servant. I'm your vessel. I'm your instrument. And we speak God's word. We speak his truth. We go in his name, right? We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So like, if you're listening to this, whether you are a pastor, whether you're discerning a call into pastoral ministry, whether you're discerning the next step of serving in your local congregation, don't allow fear of failure to be the barrier to entering into that.
Right.
do what I think every single person in ministry has to do is you step out in faith,
yeah.
right? This is what Moses had to do, to trust God when he calls you, when he opens that door, when the people around you are affirming it, to step out in faith and trust that God is enough. You're mm-hmm. not enough. I'm not enough, but he is enough.
Right.
He is faithful. He is strong. And it's him that we serve, and we're allowing him to work through us. So just as an encouragement, mm-hmm. don't allow that fear to be the barrier to answering that call into ministry.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, that's all for today. If you're thinking about this at all, if maybe you know someone in your life that's processing this, send the episode to them. We'd love to hear from you how you're, you know, processing some of this stuff too. If you want to learn more about church planting and the AFLC, we'd love to get a hold of you. AFLCHomeMissions.org. We'll see you next time.